You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on this season of Bachelor in Paradise and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 309. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. Got a great show for you today. We're going old school. Haven't had an old school contestant on in a while, right? We are talking to Elizabeth Brown. She was on Jake Pavelka's season of The Bachelor and also the very first season of Bachelor Pat. At the time, she was Elizabeth Kitt. And then she married someone in the franchise, Ty Brown, from Ally Fedotowsky's season. So Elizabeth will be our guest today on podcast number 309, and we'll get to that momentarily.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl for 2-in-1 disinfection, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
But obviously, as I mentioned in my daily roundup earlier today, I have some information in regards to where the show is headed for episode 6. I had a tweet out yesterday. I had gotten a tip. I was waiting all day to get it confirmed. I got it confirmed. I can now tell you that episode 6 is filming in Stockholm, Sweden. So episode 4 was Bahamas. Then they went to London, England. Now they are in Stockholm, Sweden. They will have one more trip somewhere for episode 7 before they come home for episode 8, which is hometown dates. So if you didn't listen to the Daily Roundup today, I gave a few teasers about what to expect, some of the things to expect this season. Keep the 5 women who were on the After the Final Rose that Zach met for the first time, just keep them in mind. Brianna, Bailey, the 3 B's, Brianna, Bailey, Brooklyn, and then also he met Christina and Davia. So keep their names in the front of your head, top of mind. Why? You'll find out in a couple weeks. The other thing is, the first night, there are, you know, limo entrances, and what were some of the things that I had mentioned? You know, the TikTok challenge, the trend on TikTok of the slapping people with tortillas. Somebody does that on their limo entrance. Someone does a play on their name. Someone brings in a pig on a leash. Those were some that I remembered. I'll have some more for you when I give you these. Something happens the first night that we have not seen in probably 15 to 20 seasons. Also, we have some self-eliminations early on in the process. There's a rose ceremony where only one person doesn't get a rose early on, which is very interesting. Also, what was the other thing? I mentioned one other bit on my daily roundup. If you want to go check that out, it should already be in your Reality Steve podcast feed. But those are some of the things to expect so far this season. Like I said, you know, I did give one thing away, and now I'm totally blanking on it. Oh, the one-on-one date in episode 3 that you do know about, which I gave you a video of, which is Allie Jacobs in the Babcock Winery and Vineyards in Santa Barbara. You saw that. You know she got a one-on-one. She did get a rose on that date. But what I can tell you is how they got there, they went skydiving. I don't know if they dropped them into the wine, they landed in the winery in the vineyards, but they went skydiving, and then that's how they, in Santa Barbara, and then they went to the winery. So that'll be an interesting date. Those are always fun to watch, especially for people that maybe, I'm guessing Allie put on her application, you know, probably afraid of heights, would never skydive in my life. And oh, by the way, here you go. Like, I'm guessing it's something that Allie is petrified of and never done in her life, and that's why they put her on that date. So, but yeah, she goes skydiving with Zach and as the day portion of her one-on-one with him. There is somebody also who gets eliminated before the first rose ceremony takes place. So during the cocktail party, that happens. And I think that's most of the stuff that I gave out. I didn't give any names because there's no need to right now. Nobody else is reporting anything on this. Nobody else knows anything. So leave it at that. But you will know in a couple weeks, because once we get to the final four, then once I know who the final four is, which is I'm assuming will be right around the time final four starts filming, then I will be able to give you everything leading up to the final four. Because that at that point, you know, you won't be able to really piece stuff together because you don't know any of the eliminations and when they happened and who got roses when and who went to Bahamas and who went to London and who is going to Sweden. And Sweden should start filming either today or tomorrow. Zach flew in yesterday. So I would think he's there first. The women probably fly. If I had to guess, the women fly in today and dates start in Stockholm tomorrow. That's my guess. But maybe a date starts today. But here we are, another season. We are almost a month into filming, and literally one picture has gotten out from their season filming. And that was the Allie date. And the video I had of Allie in the vineyards in Santa Barbara. There was nothing that got out in the Bahamas. Oh, wait, the one woman who had the pictures, she didn't have pictures of any dates, but what was her name? So I want to give her credit. Let me look through my DMs here. Sorry. I'm sorry. I can't find it off the top. I don't want to sit here and scroll, but I mentioned her at the time because she was the only one who had pictures. She had pictures of Zach like shooting on a boat, but we never had any pictures. She never got any pictures of anybody on a date. She had a group of them in the water at the pool doing a group shot, but it wasn't the whole group. So I really want to give you her name. And oh, Miss Teacher Chick, C-H-I-C, not C-H-I-C-K. Miss Teacher Chick on Instagram. She's the one that had pictures. But there weren't of any dates. So I'm talking about, like, date stuff getting out. They've completed 5 episodes of filming and basically 3 episodes of, or 3 dates start in episode 2. So you have 3 dates per episode. So 2, 3, 4, and 5. 12 dates and 1 has gotten out publicly. I know who got the one-on-one in episode 2. I know the 2 people that got the one-on-ones in episode 3. You know one of them, Allie. I know who got the other one. And then I know all the people that were on your group dates in the 2nd and 3rd episodes. And then once we get to Bahamas, I know that as well. I don't know anything about London yet. Obviously, they just left a couple days yesterday, or Zach left yesterday. Women are probably leaving today. So I'll fill you in on all that stuff when I can.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Hey, friends. Want to grow your business faster and stronger? Wondering how to find and keep top talent? It starts with your culture. Insperity, a leading HR provider, can help your business create a culture that drives growth. Download their free ebook, The Future of Business is Culture, at Insperity.com. With the right people, processes, and values in place, your company can realize its full potential. Visit Insperity.com to see how Insperity provides HR that makes a difference.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
But all right, let's get going. Here we go. Podcast number 309. All right, let's bring her in. You saw her first on Jake Pavelka's season of The Bachelor and then on season one of Bachelor Pad. My gosh, it is Elizabeth Brown. Elizabeth, how are you?
I'm good, Reality Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We've got a lot to go over in terms of your television career. And, you know, when you talk about your show, I really love talking to the old school contestants because... Well, first off, let me just ask you, do you still follow the show or no?
You know, I haven't followed the show in a while. There's been some seasons I've seen, like Colton's season and, you know, a few others here and there. But you know, I just really haven't been following like I probably should.
No, don't worry about it. You're not missing much. It's the same stuff, different cast every season. But, I mean, the format is the same, but I think... way different than when you were on the show in the fact that social media has played such a huge part of the casting of this show and the access to contestants now. And it's just a different world we're living in when it comes to this show now. But when you were on, so you were on Jake's season of The Bachelor, and I usually ask everybody who comes on that was on, and especially on an older season, exactly how in the world did you get cast on this show? Because nowadays, it's really more about getting recruited to be on the show. Nobody really fills out an application online and, you know, shows up to a casting call and gets cast anymore. So how did it happen for you to get on Jake's season? And had you watched him on his previous season Jillian's, and then been hey, I here's someone I'm interested in. Like, how did it happen for you?
So prior to going on, I had never really watched a full season of The Bachelor. I'd seen episodes here and there with girlfriends, but I never really followed the show. I had gone through a really harsh breakup with a guy named Jake, actually, who I had dated for 2 years. And so I was just in a really sad place and just, you know, trying to figure life out. I sold everything I owned in St. Louis and moved to Breckenridge to snowboard for a season. And my family back home in my small town of Nebraska was worried about me, thinking like she's gone off the deep end after this breakup. So my mom submitted me to be on The Bachelor. And I get a call out of nowhere. She never told me she submitted me. I got a call out of nowhere from ABC saying, hey, you know, your mom said the sweetest things about you. Would you like to interview for the show? And that's how I got interested.
So you go through that process. Did you freshen up at all and watch some of the episodes of him on with Jillian? Did you have an idea of who Jake was and what he was about when you went on the show?
Yeah, so ABC didn't let us know who was going to be the Bachelor until we got out of the limo. So we didn't
waited.
Going to be right. So, but I did go back through Jillian's season and did some Googling, and my top choices were Jesse Kovacs, Jake, and Kipton. I think those were my top three.
Okay. Well, you got your Jesse wish on Bachelor Pad, but we'll get to that in a second. So on your season, it was different because one, there was only 25 women. Now they usually cast about 30, and your season, you know, didn't have the most luxurious travel on it. You didn't get to travel. You were eliminated before travel started, right?
Right. I was in the mansion and. Once I got booted, everybody got to go do fun things. So I was a little bitter.
Yeah. I mean, their travel was one of the, I mean, the episode after you left, which was episode 3, and episode 4, they got in an RV and they got to travel the coast of Florida, California. And then they were in San Francisco, and then all of a sudden it was hometowns. So it's your season is a little bit different the way they format it now. Now you get, I mean, if you get to hometowns, you have 3 or 4 cities outside of LA that you get to go to before hometowns. So it wasn't all that for you. I remember specifically you had a couple group. I think you had 2 group dates that you went on. The first one was what was the one?
Magic Mountain.
Oh, that's right. Wait. Okay. So you got to go to the first group date of the season for you. Was Magic Mountain, and you got the rose on that group date, correct?
I did. I got the safe rose. Mm-hmm. even though I told Jake I didn't want to kiss him, he still gave me the safe rose. So that was cool.
What was your reason? Just you didn't want to kiss on the first date? Was that it for you?
You know, I was so conflicted, I think, with my feelings the whole time I was there. So you go into this mansion and you meet all these great girls, and I became friends with them. And then they started going on dates with Jake and started really liking him. And, you know, as a girl, I don't like to take my girlfriend's boyfriends from them. So there was that element of it. There was just like, I don't know, I felt like everyone was kissing him, and that was kind of grossing me out. And I think I was doomed from the start. I don't think there was any way I could get my heart to fall for someone that everybody else was interested in. You know, it's a really strange setting, and I didn't know how to prepare for it, I think, when I was going into it. So I went in kind of, you know, off the cuff and realized right away, like, this is not a setting I can...
I was just going to say, Elizabeth, this doesn't sound like a show for you. If you were going to have an issue with people kissing the same man and just been like all competing for the same man, like that's, there was no way you were going to make it if that's
there
what
was,
you're feeling
yeah,
for.
I was doomed from the start, for sure.
The other thing that obviously took place in your season while you were still there, which was one of the more controversial things that ever happened in the history of the show, was the Roslyn factor and what happened with Roslyn. Is there any light that you can shed on this if you ever saw anything or you suspected anything, or once you found out, you were like, wait, what? I mean, because there have been people that have spoken out after the fact that said they absolutely saw something or saw some suspicious behavior, and there are some that said, I don't know, and that was news to me. Where was your take, and did you get along with Roslyn in the house? Like, where did you stand with her, and when everything went down, what was your take?
Have you talked to Roslyn?
Long time ago.
Yeah. So I think she got a really bad edit. I think the producers did her wrong in that, because from everything I saw and knew of Roslyn, she was upset with the producers because she wasn't able to talk to her son.
Yeah.
And as a mother going away for that long, not being able to talk to my daughter, I would do the exact same thing she did, which was, you know, voice her concerns and, you know, fight with the producers about it. And I think just because she wasn't going along with what the producers wanted day in and day out, and she was fighting with them about not being able to talk with her son, as they had promised her she would be able to do every night. So picture she's leaving her son to go on this show for however long, she doesn't know how long she'll be away filming, and she promised him she'll talk to him every single night. And they weren't letting her talk to him every single night. So, so I think what happened was, you know, she buddied up with one of the producers who was a friend of all of ours. You know, you make friends with the producers while you're on the show. And I mean, I think they kind of were flirty, but I honestly think that maybe she was just feeling like safe with somebody that was actually listening to her. And he snuck a phone to her and let her call her son. And so I think she was appreciative of that. I don't think she was romantically interested in him in that way. He may have been romantically interested in her because she was beautiful. But I do think that the producers made a much bigger thing of it, and for, because they wanted that drama. And when she left, she was happy. She was, you know, she had her bags and she said goodbye, and I was happy that she got to go home to her son. I was happy for her. But then when they came in and said Roslyn was having an inappropriate relationship with a producer, I fought back too. I said, that's not even right. That's, you guys are lying about that. And the producers were upset with me too. They were just like, you know, everyone's here for Jake, and if you're not here for Jake, you need to reevaluate things. So I think that's also why I ended up getting the boot too. you gotta go along with what they want you to, with the narrative they want you to go with. So
yeah, I think I mean, there obviously have been things told throughout the years, and I think even remember on your Women Tell All that there were people that spoke out that said, "Oh yeah, no, she totally did," and it's just like someone's flat, you know, someone out there is flat out lying, because either they did hook up, or, you know, Roslyn and the producer, or they didn't. So it's just a matter of, you know, who to believe. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. You know, obviously Roslyn stands by her story since day one about what happened, which is exactly what you said, that she was pissed off at production for not letting her talk to her son, which I believe absolutely did happen, because I've known in seasons after that they've done that to contestants. You know, they convince you, oh, you know, because anybody with a child that goes on this show, which they still will occasionally cast someone with a child, clearly they have to convince that person, oh no, don't worry, you will absolutely have access to talk to your child every day.
Right.
And sometimes it doesn't work out that way, and sometimes they don't let them do that, and obviously it sends people off the deep end, as it should, because you're promised something and then it's taken away from you. So, yeah, I mean, you're dealing with that. Obviously, with you, something happened in the episode that you went home. When I was doing some research and just Googling, because it's very hard to pull up these old episodes and I don't even remember exactly what happened, but did something happen with you? And I thought I read something about Elizabeth and something about backstabbing Vienna during a one-on-one date or something like that on the episode you went home. What was the story behind that, at the cocktail party or something like that?
Backstabbing Vienna?
Yeah, it was like maybe you interrupted Vienna during her alone time or something along those lines.
I think it was something along the lines of, I was talking with Jake and I hadn't talked to him since he had given me the safe rose and
yeah,
and all of that. And by the way, we got to, so it was at the Magic Mountain, and he had given me the rose, and so it was just him and I and the fireworks. And because I wouldn't kiss him, the production was cut short. We were sent to our vans, and one of the producers yelled at me on the way back to the mansion, and he said, you know, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And I said, what? And he said, I wouldn't not kiss him. And I said, well, he seemed okay with it, you know? And he said, well, I just don't think that's going to play out well for you. And I was just like, okay, whatever. But then I hadn't talked to him until that night, at the, let's see, what was it? The, cocktail party, I guess. And anyway, he then had like this whole different perception of me. And I think the producers like gotten in his head, like I'm being a tease. I'm not like,
yeah,
there for the right reasons or whatever. And so he kind of went with that narrative and I was completely shocked because I was like, wait a minute. The last time we talked, like you were on board with this or whatever. And so hearing that from him, I was a little shocked. And then Vienna came and took him away before we were able to finish that conversation. So I was upset and I was talking to the girls and they were like, oh my gosh. And Vienna, you know, she was cast or she was known as, you know, the one that everybody didn't like or whatever, which is sad because I liked her just fine. She just was young and, you know, she ruffled some feathers, but no, I didn't think anything. I didn't think poorly of her. I was just like upset because I didn't get to figure out where this was coming from Jake.
Yeah. And you know, what producers said to you is, you know, something that's been coming up a lot, recently in current seasons, and contestants are speaking out about it a little bit more. Even though it goes against your contract, they're kind of wording it in a way where it's obvious they are not happy with how they're being treated by production. And that's some of the things that, you know, they will say. Like for you, they didn't necessarily hang it over your head. Like nowadays, they would probably tell you before going into a cocktail party or before going into a group date after party, hey, you know, Jake's kissed three girls already. If you don't kiss them, you're probably not getting a rose. Like that's how they... It's what they'll say to people nowadays. And, you know, it's their way to entice more, you know, makeouts and more drama and stuff like that. And, yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. to say that to you after the date, not the nicest thing in the world to do. And it's just like, hey, well, this is my decision. This is what I choose to do. You know, I don't care what you're it's like, sorry, but I don't care. Oh, this isn't going to work out well for you. It's like they already had your storyline ahead of time. It's like, okay, well, right. If she's not going to kiss him, then we're not going to keep her around, you know?
Right. And I think I was naive to think that it was Jake's choice or Jake's decision. And yeah. there was no like manipulation behind the scenes or, you know, coercion or anything that was going on. I just thought, you know, he was alone in his head space to make his own choice. But, you know, whatever it was, it's kind of a toxic environment. And yeah, you are afraid to speak out about it right after the fact because you sign these contracts saying, you know, you have to pay like $1 million or something if you speak poorly or I don't know.
Yeah, technically, you know, not supposed to speak about something that's not shown on the show. You can only talk about what's shown,
right.
but we all know that there's so much that goes on, and the reason that's written in the contracts is because they know there's so much that goes on behind the scenes, and they don't want it getting out. I mean, like,
right.
Let's be honest right. with it. Now, the other thing was you got to do the other group date you were on was the comedy club group date where you kind of, I don't remember what your comedy routine was, but it was six of you that got to go up there and do a comedy bit at the comedy club in Hollywood. do you remember anything that you said in your comedy routine? Was it a roast where you had to talk about the other women and Jake, or was it just you had to do your own comedy routine?
So we had to do our own comedy routine, and it's funny because I feel like I can be funny, you know, but I couldn't even think of anything. My mind went blank. I was just like, I was so nervous. And John Lovitz came up to me and we were talking about it, and he just like gave me a joke to say. So I just wrote the whole joke down, and it was raunchy, but it was kind of funny.
Do you remember it?
But what's that?
Do you remember it?
No, it was something about vaginas and penises. I don't know. It was like, I mean, it wasn't something that I would come up with because it wasn't my kind of humor, but yeah. I was like, all right, well, John Lovitz is, you know, a famous comedian. So, I just wanted to make people laugh. And so I got up and told his joke. And anyway, they bleeped it out and the editing made it seem really bad, but it wasn't my joke. It was John.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/.
Hey friends, want to grow your business faster and stronger? Wondering how to find and keep top talent? It starts with your culture. Insperity, a leading HR provider, can help your business create a culture that drives growth. Download their free ebook, The Future of Business is Culture, at Insperity.com. With the right people, processes, and values in place, your company can realize its full potential. Visit Insperity.com to see how Insperity provides HR that makes a difference.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Gotcha. So that particular episode was the third episode, and that was the one you got, you know, sent home in. So like I said, you didn't get to travel the coast of California in an RV or go to San Francisco or whatnot. So, I mean, that was pretty much it for you. When the show ended, you know, as I mentioned in the beginning, you were on the very first season of Bachelor Pad. So when this show ended, for all you knew, your TV career was over in terms of this franchise. When did you start hearing rumblings about, hey, we're thinking of doing a summer show, kind of a game show kind of thing, but incorporate dating and love into it? When did that start coming about?
Pretty soon after, because my season of The Bachelor filmed in late 2009.
Yeah.
And then it aired early 2010. And then we started filming for The Bachelor Pad in, I think it was the summer of 2010, and then it aired in like August of 2010. So it was all relatively quick.
But when they came to you, I remember this, because this was so obviously so long ago, but when they came to you, they had to pitch something that you had never seen before. So what was their pitch to you to get you to do this, of at least you had seen or had an idea of what The Bachelor was? Now they're like, sure, hey, we're going to do a show called Bachelor Pad. And you know, what did they pitch to you?
It was supposed to be like real world Road Rules, you know, like remember that show? I don't even know if it's still on, but it was like an MTV thing. And so we all thought we were going on this like competition show. We were like getting in shape, you know, trying to make sure we could win these competitions, thinking it was more physical, athletic competitions. And then we get cast, and it's about like spin the bottle and Twister and a pie eating contest and a kissing contest. And it's like nothing you could have prepared for.
Yeah. I was just going to go over your challenges. By the way, for anyone that doesn't remember, the first season of Bachelor Pad, their challenges were Twister, pie eating, a kissing competition, a survey where you basically had to say bad things about someone else, Even though it was anonymously, your questions were like, you know, who's the least likable in the house? You know, questions like that. And a water balloon toss, and then the final challenge was a ballroom dancing competition. And for you, you basically teamed up with Jesse Kovacs, as you mentioned, somebody that you were interested in from Jillian's season. And so he ends up on Bachelor Pad. So I'm assuming right away you were like, oh, okay, this is somebody that I'm interested in. Was Jesse, I don't remember if he was immediately, you know, it was you and him immediately, or did he go through some, did he have somebody else before it ended up settling on you?
No, so Jesse and I were dating prior to going on the show. I wasn't supposed to say anything about, I wasn't supposed to say anything about me being cast, but I, of course, told him because we were dating. And I said, you know, ABC called and they want me to be on this show. Would you be okay with me going? I don't know. I think there's like a dating element to it. So, you know, I don't know how you feel about that. And he was like, oh, you know, it's a chance to win money. Like, definitely go. You have to do it. And I was like, okay. So he knew I was going on the show. I didn't know he was being cast to go on the show. So like literally when I left, when the limo came to pick me up, he was at my apartment. Like, I was saying goodbye to him. And so I was shocked when I got on the show and then he came in the house. I was excited, but also confused because I'm like, why wouldn't you tell me, you know?
So he knew knew the whole time he was going on too and wouldn't tell you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what was his, explanation for that?
You know, I don't know. He was probably trying to be strategic, or, you know, the producers were in his head. I don't fault him for it. I was really confused when I was on the show because I was upset that he didn't want to conspire going into it so that we could win the money together, you know? And he was thinking he needed to be like, appear to be single so that he could win the competitions. But then I'm like, Jesse, I'm friends with the girls. Like, we could vote you off. This isn't going to go well. You need to get with the program here. So he did, you know, and things were fine. But,
did the women in the house know once Jesse showed up, or once obviously the whole cast was there, did you kind of let everybody know in the house that we're dating, or did they already know just by, you know, hanging out in the off season together? Did people already know that you guys were dating?
Most of them knew. Yeah. Okay. Most of them knew. Yeah. And then the ones that didn't know were like, what is he doing? What a jerk. We'll get rid of him. Like, I know. Well, but I didn't want him to go either, you know, because I wanted him there.
Yeah. And, you know, you guys laid the groundwork for the summer shows. I mean, you had 3 seasons of Bachelor Pad, and now season 8 of Bachelor in Paradise is airing. So, I mean, but you were on the original summer show, and, you know, you got to the end with Jesse. You got to the final competition, which was a ballroom dancing competition. And by the way, you never won any of the challenges, unfortunately. sorry about that. You never won any of the challenges. But in the final challenge, Kipton and Tenley won the ballroom dancing competition. And then they had to choose, of the other two couples, which were Natalie and David and you and Jesse, who they wanted to eliminate, thus meaning the other couple would make it to the finals with them. Did you ever think that Kipton and Tenley were going to keep you and eliminate Natalie and David, or you knew, oh, we're done, we didn't win?
No, I kind of figured we were done. Natalie and Tenley had much closer of a friendship than we did, and so I wasn't surprised by that.
So when Natalie and it ended up working against them because Kipton and Tenley took 2 people to the finals who ended up beating them, because you guys all vote on who wanted to win. Who did you end up voting for?
I know. It was kind of funny because when they did choose Natalie and David, I thought, well, that was silly because we haven't won a competition yet. So your odds of winning would have been with us. Who did I end up voting for? I think Natalie and Dave.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I was closer with Natalie for sure.
I'm just looking at the breakdown here on the internet, and not only did you not win a date, Usually when somebody won one of the, or the, not a challenge, the challenge, not a date, on any of the challenges, not only did you not win any of the challenges, but the person who did win usually got to take somebody on a date or take a group of three people on a date. You didn't even get to go on any of those looking at. So you were in the house, you were in the mansion the whole time. You never got to go anywhere outside of, you know, in the backyard for a kissing competition.
Really. I spent a lot of time at the pool.
Yeah.
That was very much in the mansion for me.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize you didn't win anything or even get chosen to go anywhere. Maybe because people thought, like, she's with Jesse. I don't want to bring her on a date because that'll, I don't know. Because, let's see, Craig won the Twister Challenge, and he took Elizabeth, Gwen, and Jesse.
Oh, wait. No, he took me. That's right. I did get
I'm looking at it right now. It says Craig took Elizabeth, Gwen, and Jesse. And I'm literally talking to Elizabeth, and I'm like totally blanked. That's right. So
that's right.
Craig took you, but then he gave the safe rose to Jesse over you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got to go on one outside date. That's right. Okay.
One outside group date. And I was kind of annoyed to be there because I just wanted to be at the mansion.
You wanted to be with Jesse. That's what it was. So, I mean, when you look back on Bachelor Pad and just kind of the way it played out, and which one did you like more? Did you like being on Bachelor or Bachelor Pad?
Oh, Bachelor Pad was so fun.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, it was so much fun. And you know, I'm so glad I got the chance to spend more time with like Gia and some of the other friends that I had made prior. Because, you know, we did get a lot more time together in Bachelor Pad.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, you ask anybody nowadays in terms of how a relationship can form, it's a lot easier on Bachelor in Paradise because, number one, you have way more options. You know, on your season, you had 25 women competing for Jake. And, yeah, you had a Bachelor Pad house that only had about 18, 20 people in it, but... And you already had a boyfriend going in anyway, so it really didn't matter for you. But it's more conducive, especially now on Bachelor in Paradise, on the summer show, because you get to spend your whole time. If you connect with somebody on the first couple days, you literally get to spend every living, breathing moment with them down there. And you get to even sleep with them if you want every night versus on, you know, The Bachelor. That's totally opposite. Even the guy that you're competing for, you barely get to spend any time with, you know,
right.
If you get a one-on-one, you get that. But on your group dates, all you get is whatever time you get with him during the group date, which you're sharing with a bunch of other women, any time at the after party, which you're also sharing with a bunch of other women, and then the cocktail party before the rose ceremony. And that's really it, you know, unless you get to, you know, hometowns and overnights. But, you know, you didn't get to experience that. But Paradise. Bachelor Pad ends, and once it ended and you and Jesse got eliminated and whatnot, and then the show is over, how much longer did you and Jesse date after that?
It wasn't long. It was just so much that we went through that, you know, I don't think we were set up to really succeed. So yeah, it wasn't long. So
now, when you,
how long?
Of those, of the women on your season, whether it was Jake's season or a Bachelor Pad, I'm just asking out of curiosity, who do you keep in touch with from the show? Is there anybody that you're still really close with?
You know, I was really close with, like, Natalie and Catherine Sherlock and, a few others. I'm awful with names and I'm blanking right now because I'm on the spot. But I was really close with a lot of them. But, you know, over the years, we don't live in the same town. So,
yeah.
You know, you kind of start to lose touch. But I stay, you know, connected with them on social media. And, you know, it's fun seeing their posts and how their families are growing and everyone's growing up and moving on.
And Natalie recently got married within the last.
She just got married. Yes, to a Nebraska guy.
Oh, really? He's from Nebraska? Yes. I didn't know. Yeah, I've seen her posts on Facebook within the last. I want to say they got married this summer, right? A few months ago.
Yeah, recently. Yeah. Yes.
I haven't heard from Nat. I mean, Natalie and I used to talk all the time, and I haven't heard from her in years. But it's just, it's nothing bad. It's just one of these things where people. you know, you just kind of drift apart from people. And
you just move on. And I mean, to me, some people want to stay famous. I didn't want to stay famous. So like when I married Ty, he, you know, he was from Ally season, and he was doing the music thing for a couple of years in Nashville before he and I got together. And, you know, I shared with him that, you know, I'm just more of like a small town country girl, and I want to live on a farm, and I don't want to, you know, stay in the spotlight, and I just want to settle down and have a bunch of babies. And so that was kind of our thing when we got married. We kind of got out of the spotlight and settled into a small town just outside of Nashville and built a house on 20 acres and had our little baby finally. It took us a while. It was a infertility struggle that we battled with, but she's here and she's amazing. So yeah, I think some people want to stay in the fame, and that's fine. And then some people just get a taste of the fame and realize, you know, it's just not for them. So
yeah, I was going to – you set up my next topic that I wanted to talk about, obviously, after the show. For those that don't know, you eventually ended up marrying Ty Brown from Ally season. And how did you and Ty Brown meet? Was it just through, hey, we're part of the Bachelor family? I know there were a lot of, you know, off-season or off-camera parties and meetups in different cities. Is that how you guys, I'm assuming, got together?
Yeah, well, it was, I was still living in LA and he was in Nashville, and he came out with some of his friends from his season for a charity thing in LA. And Natalie called me up and said, hey, some of the, some of Ally's season guys are in town watching football. I think it was somewhere in West Hollywood or something. And so we went to this bar and watched football with them. And I saw Ty, and I hadn't seen his season because his season aired when Bachelor Pad was filming. So I didn't know any of the guys from the show, but I saw Ty, and he was a tall, you know, country guy. And I, you know, just love a good, I just love the country. And so I sat down next to him, and, you know, we had a good conversation. I think there was a definite attraction there on both sides, but I don't know if he was in a relationship or just about to get into one back in Nashville. He dated Terry Bradshaw's daughter for a while.
That's right. And so, I remember that now. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So they ended up getting in like a 2-year relationship, and I started dating a guy in LA for 2 years. And so I didn't talk to Ty since that first meeting. And then I think we had become friends on Facebook or something, obviously. But then I broke up with my boyfriend of 2 years, and I was ready to move back home to Nebraska. Like, I was over LA. I'd been there 5 years. And anyway, 12 minutes after I changed my status on Facebook to single, Ty slid into my DMs and said, like, I think we need to talk. And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, we do. So we just started talking, and, you know, we had a fun little romance there, long distance. And because I was leaving LA anyway, he was like, well, instead of moving back to Nebraska, you should move to Nashville. And I said, okay. So I moved here to Nashville in 2013, and we got married. Well, I moved here in April 2013, and we got married March of 2014. So it's pretty quick.
And then, like you said, I know that you had struggled with fertility issues, and then I think you were pretty open about this. Did you openly talk about this, or not until after you had your daughter? Did you?
I mean, I'm pretty open anyway about anything personally, I feel like, but yeah, I think we were interviewed by someone then, maybe, after we had our daughter. But anyway, yes. So our plan was to just start having kids right away, because he was 34. I was 34. He was 35 when we got married. So, you know, the clock was ticking.
Yeah.
And I wanted like 5 babies. And so we started trying right away after we got married, and found out pretty quickly that it wasn't working. And so We went to a fertility doctor here in town, and what was really, I guess the thing that really bugged me the most about it was that they didn't have a reason for either one of us why we weren't getting pregnant. I just wanted there to be like, oh, you don't have any eggs, so you have no babies in there, or, you know, something to tell us like, yeah, this is going to happen or not going to happen. But they were just like, nope, no, no reason why. So just keep trying. But, you know, as time went on, we just wanted to make sure that we were doing everything we could. And so we did IVF, and through the process, we got two embryos, one boy and one girl. And they transferred the boy first, and he took, but then we miscarried him pretty quickly within the process. Gosh, I'm tearing up and I didn't.
No, it's no, it's perfectly fine.
So, and that was 2016. So, and then a month later, my dad passed away unexpectedly. So we just kind of left my little girl embryo frozen, until we kind of got through that phase. And then it was, let's see, August of 2017. Do you remember the solar eclipse of that year?
Yeah.
So that's the day I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. So,
oh wow.
Yeah, we ended up transferring. She was a little frozen embryo for a year, and we transferred her in August. And I found out the day of the eclipse that I was pregnant.
So. Oh wow, that is crazy! It's certainly a memorable day to remember the day. but just to, look, I don't have any children myself. I know people who have gone through IVF who have struggled with it, and some people took right away. I mean, there's really, again, another situation where there's no rhyme or reason to why some take right away and some people don't have problems with it, and some have numerous implants where it has to be done and, it has to take. And it's just, there's really no rhyme or reason to that. But you, just amazing to hear that, like your daughter, Blakely is your daughter, can literally was an embryo for a year frozen, and then it's now a child. Like, that's so, I mean, it may seem so simple to people that are into science and stuff like that, but for somebody who's never gone through that process, it is pretty amazing to think that it was an embryo that was just sitting in a freezer, essentially, a year, and you can just hold on to it, and then it turns into a child at some point.
Yeah, and do you want to know what the trippiest story is? So she was a frozen embryo in, I want to say, August of 2016. My dad died in October of 2016. Then she was born in April of 2018. Now that she's four and a half, she'll remind me. now that she's four, she tells the story of how when she was in heaven and she was with Grandpa Kirby before she came down to be in my tummy and be born. And I'm like, what? Whoa. Like, it's the trippiest, right? I'm like, wait a minute.
and she obviously clearly never met her grandfather.
No, she never met him. She was a frozen embryo before he died. So was her spirit in heaven with him? And I don't know. That's what trips me out about all of this. And it's such a beautiful, trippy story that she tells.
Yeah.
It's really a short story. It's not a lot of detail, but she always says the same thing. She just said, yeah, when I was with Grandpa Kirby in heaven and he was driving me backwards and he was so funny. And I'm just like, okay, that's really strange.
Wow. Okay. I mean, there are some stories out there of, I've heard stories that are along those lines, but even more bizarre, of people, children who can retell stories of things that happened years ago before they were ever on this earth that are just like, whoa, wait a second. What? but yeah, that's great. Congratulations to you guys. Obviously, for those that don't know, within the last couple years, I believe you and Ty got divorced, right? Or yes. What year was it? Was it pre-pandemic or post-pandemic?
It was... I guess, mid-pandemic.
Oh, it was so during. June, okay.
Well, June 2021 is when our divorce was final. So okay. It's been like a year and a half. So.
Okay. And, you know, obviously it happens. It's not something you obviously hope for, but you guys have been able to manage through it. You know, you had mentioned to me before we got on the call that you guys do 50-50 and your co-parenting has been great. And not a lot of families who have been divorced can say that. And so I give you props there because it's not an easy thing to do. You guys are close enough to where, you know, you have obviously moved, but you're close enough to him and you share custody. And you told me co-parenting is going great and you guys get along in that aspect. So that's good to hear.
Yeah. So he and I, we weren't good as husband wife, but he's a great dad and I'm a great mom and we co-parent very well. One thing we always did see eye to eye on was how to discipline our, you know, children before we found out it was just going to be the one, but we just always had, like, we saw eye to eye on a lot of things in that way in how to parent. And so co-parenting has been a real blessing and I'm very proud of how we're able to do it. And, you know, just kind of put aside ourselves and just really the focus is on her and what's best for her. I bought a farm that's like 15 minutes from where he is. So we're all very close. It was about a month ago, I wanted to take Blakely camping for the first time. And I got a tent and I put a tent up on my farm. And I told Ty, I was like, hey, I'm going to take Blakely tent camping for the first time just here on my farm if you want to join us. And he said, yeah, that'll be fun. So, you know, he got to experience her first tent camping with us. And we do, you know, birthdays together and things like that, which I know as a kid, she appreciates having both her parents there to experience it with both parents. So I do find myself very fortunate for the way that we co-parent her.
Yeah, that's great. And is she involved in any activities yet at 4 and a half? Is she involved in, like, you know, little kids soccer or ballet or anything? Is she doing any of that?
Oh, Steve, I'm trying. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm not avoiding it. I'm just like waiting for her to get super excited or into something before we dedicate all of our time into a sport, because a lot of my friends are like, I'm like, hey, you want to go do this or that? And they're like, no, we've got all day soccer this Saturday, you know? And I'm like, oh, I don't want to get into that until I have to. But she is showing a real love of ballet. So I may need to find a class for her sometime soon.
Yeah. I mean, at that age, it's just like you kind of let them lead in what they're interested in. And if she wants to do ballet, I mean, I guess that's the route to go. Maybe she doesn't even have interest in playing soccer or doing anything like that. At that age, you know. Soccer really isn't like, you don't even have to coach. It's just 10 kids running around, you know, yeah, all bunched up against each other, kicking a ball. I mean, right. It's not like anything strategic. But yeah, ballet is obviously something that I would think that you'd probably want to get her into. That's what she's into. Like, how did she express to you that she was into ballet?
Well, she's just very much a girly girl. And okay. So she's got all kinds of dresses and she wanted a ballet dress. So I got her a ballerina. Well, actually it was at school, her daycare. It was career day. And I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said a ballerina. So I got her this cute little tutu and the ballerina shoes and everything. And she loves to put it on and dance around. And this last weekend I found a YouTube tutorial of how to, you know, of ballet, beginners ballet with this mom and cute little daughter. And she was so into it. And she was learning all the things. So that's when I thought, oh, I'm going to need to find ballet lessons here soon.
Did she go through a princess phase?
Oh, she's still in the phase.
Oh, she's still in it. Okay.
The day she turned 3, she gave up all clothes but her dresses. So, like, I have to dress her in a dress basically every day. And in the wintertime, you know, I got to dress her in a dress and pants because She just refuses not to wear a dress.
I remember that. I remember those days with my niece. Yeah, it was just, it was all about princesses. And it was, no, I'm going to, it was like she would go to school and come home. And the second she came home, it was, I'm putting on a princess dress. Just really, and then for my nephew, for him, it was, I'm coming home and putting on a Superman costume. Or, you know, one of the Avengers or something like that, you know? Yes. It was just like, you cannot have them in normal clothes. They don't want it. It's very, very bizarre.
I love the phase. I'll keep this stage as long as it goes.
I was just about to tell you, my niece that I just spoke of is now a freshman in college. So savor these years because they go by quick. And I can't believe my niece is off to college and currently in college right now. And I can probably tell you all the different things that we did. And all the little quirks of, you know, the princess phase and all the things that she said and did when she was between 4 and 8 years old. And now, you know, she's 18 and in college. But it's crazy how fast it goes by. These are you're in the best years.
I'm in the best years.
4 through 8 to me was the best years for my niece. Yeah. And then once they start getting a personality or an attitude, then you're going to. You're gonna have your hands full. That's when it gets interesting. Once they start going to school and coming home and closing their door, and not wanting to hang out with mom and dad aren't cool anymore. Yeah, that phase is interesting to say the least.
You're about to break my heart, Steve.
I know. I want to prepare you. I'm telling you, it's coming because when they're 4 and 8, between 4 and 8, you're just like, oh my gosh, they're never gonna be. You know, adult and like other things except mom and dad. And then you're just like about 11, 12, 13. You're like, oh boy. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a phase. One thing I want to end with is this, and this is something that I saw on Facebook. It made me want to contact you because I'm friends with you on Facebook and I saw that you had posted that you have entered yourself into a contest that I want people to vote for, and it's called Fab Over 40. And if you win Fab Over 40, you get, I keep saying Fab Over 40, you get a 2-page spread in New Beauty Magazine and $40,000 and the spa-cation of a lifetime, according to them. Tell people what this is, what you entered, how people can vote for you.
Yeah, so my friend sent me this link one day and she said, you're fabulous and you're 42, you need to sign up for this and win the money and do something fun for your farm. And at first I was like so embarrassed, but I decided to do it. What it is if you win, you know, you get the $40,000, the spread in the magazine, all that. But also when people vote, they can donate to breast cancer awareness, which is something, you know, that's very important and near and dear to my heart. Lost some good people to breast cancer. And I've known some people who've fought it and overcome it. So anyway, it was just an opportunity to maybe win a competition and also help raise money for that important cause.
Yeah. And if you go to votefab40.com, just click around and you'll be able to vote for you. Or can you only vote for you through your Facebook page? Because I voted through the Facebook page for you. But when I go to votefab40.com, I'm not seeing here where I can vote for people. It doesn't say like list of contestants. So maybe you only have to do it. You have to promote it through your social media channels and
maybe so. Would you want, you could post the link to your podcast episode, maybe.
Yeah, I can, let's see, learn more. It says learn more, log in, or support, but learn more is just the main page. So, yeah, when you put the link on your Facebook page and I clicked it, it brought me right to voting for Elizabeth Brown. When you go to votefab40.com, it doesn't say like, here's a list of contestants to vote for VoteFab, you know, for the Fab Over 40. It's not showing that. So I'll just have to use your link. That's fine. either way, I think it's great. I when I voted for you, it said you were in first place at the time for your group. So I guess you have to win a group and then advance to another group. But we need people to vote for you because apparently now you've slipped to third.
I'm slipping to third. It's probably another competition I won't win, but but at the end of the day, if it raises some money for a good cause, I guess that's a win for me. So, but yes, it's something I think you need to vote every day or something. There's like a daily voting, and I think it doesn't end. I don't think they announce the winner until sometime in December. So it's kind of a long process. So yeah, the odds of me winning are probably slim to none, but I would appreciate a vote if you feel inspired. So I would appreciate it.
Yeah. And then the reason why, you know, one of the reasons I want to have you on this week is because when this podcast, when people are hearing this podcast on Thursday tonight, I think at 7 p.m. Pacific time is when voting closes for the first group. So hopefully people that are listening to this today, you vote today because today is the last day to vote for Elizabeth. And let's see if we can get her back up into first place for her particular group. The other thing I wanted to mention to end with here is you had mentioned that obviously you live on a 6-acre farm and you are also kind of, I was like, do you have animals on your farm yet? You're like, no, not yet. But your plan is to have a bunch of animals on the farm?
Well, right now I have a lot of varmints that are keeping me busy. I post some kind of funny videos of like armadillos and groundhogs. I've got some moles. I've got 3 cats that are mine and they're pretty silly. But no, I hope to sometime in the spring get those Highlander cows, those mini cows. They're so darn cute. And I have I found a guy that sells them, so he and I are talking. But I'm trying right now just to get my farm to a point where I can handle like bigger livestock.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that would be, I think that's going to be awesome because I see pictures of you. You're riding on mowers in your Facebook
picture.
Yeah. I mean, looking at you, you're like, you are a farm girl at heart. Like that is, you really are. You're living that farm girl life. Maybe have you ever tried have you ever gone on farmersonly.com? Is that something? is that a thing? Like, I mean, I know it's a thing, but have you ever tried it or no?
Oh my gosh, Steve, the dating apps are tragic. I tried them a couple times. I didn't do Farmers Only. but yeah, I think maybe I'll just find a guy the old fashioned way this time around and not go on a dating competition or the apps.
Yeah, the apps are essentially a dating competition as well because while you may find somebody on there, he's also probably going out on 7 or 8 different dates as well. And
right,
just a bunch of other people. And it's just like you're competing in that world as well.
You're on The Bachelor.
Yeah. Whether it's Farmers Only or not. I was just curious if anybody's ever dated off of farmersonly.com because they ran those commercials for the longest time. And you're just like, wow, this is actually really a thing. You can actually just select from farmers.
Yeah. Wait, do you go on the dating apps?
No. I avoid them. I've avoided them like the plague. I honestly have not been on a dating app since 2007. I remember specifically when I stopped. And I was only on them for maybe 6 months. I was on, and this was back, 2007. That's when, there was no Plenty of Fish and Tinder and Bumble. I was on Match.com for $9.99 a month. Like it was, yeah, that's what I paid for. And when you pay for $9.99 a month, the quality, basically you get what you pay for when you sign up for Match at $9.99 a month. And I hated it. I just didn't like it. It's not for me. It's not something I've ever been interested in when it comes to dating. And yeah, no, I don't do the apps at all. And I really refuse to. So people have told me I should. And I'm like, no, I don't. It's not for me. Sorry. Just not interested. But Farmers Only. It's out there, Elizabeth.
It's out there. maybe I should know. The thing about the apps, though, that I did like is it sometimes it just feels like you don't you don't know how to get yourself back out there, you know, when you're in your 40s or you know, when you find yourself single after being married or something. And I'm like, how do you even meet somebody nowadays, you know?
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, as a single mother like you are, I mean, it's obviously you have restrictions in terms of
time.
I've got a child. Do you only, like, when you have dated, have you tried to date men with children, or it doesn't matter to you? Has it always been something that it's like, I'd probably prefer it, but it's not 100% that set that way? How are you with that?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. It would be nice to, you know, I don't know. I just love kids, but, you know, I guess my thing is I just would love to fall in love again and it be somebody that would also be, you know, a good bonus dad to my daughter and understand that, you know, I have a co-parenting relationship. So he and Ty hopefully get along and, you know, we're all just one big happy family. But, but I don't know, you know, whether that means he's got children or not is, I don't care either way. I just want like a good person, you know?
Yeah. I mean, some people in your position will only date men with children. They just think that it's like, they understand my position. And it's just like, okay, I get that. But some like yourself are a little more, you know, open to it. Doesn't have to be that way. And speaking of Ty, one last thing. And this was brought to my head because when I had Craig Robinson on the show a couple times, I know that Ty is still, doesn't he still have a group of close guys from Alley season? Isn't Craig and Ty are still friends, right? Or
yeah, they're yeah. He's got a fun little group of friends from the show for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I knew that Ty was part of that group. When I remember speaking with Craig, both on the podcast and off air, and he's like, "Oh yeah, me and the boys still get together, you know, when we can. Obviously, we're in different states and whatnot, but I know that they still. I don't know if they do a guy trip or something like that, but it's like it's."
We used to all get together, I guess, early on in my marriage. We did a few things with the groups, and it was so fun. They're just a fun group of guys, and a lot of fun memories from those times.
Who's in that guy group? It's Craig, Ty. Is Frank part of it, or was he? Was it Frank? No. It was Craig, Ty,
Roberto.
Oh, Roberto. That's right.
Yeah. Darn it with the names.
Chris Lambden. Yeah.
Yes.
Because Peyton was on. Peyton was on your season of Bachelor Pad, and obviously Chris and Peyton got married, and they're doing well for themselves, for sure. Yeah, that's right. I remember Craig talking about it. Yeah, it's not important on the names all that much, but yeah, I do remember Ty being part of that. And I just remember making just as we're talking, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, Ty is friends with Craig from, because they were both on Alley season.
Yeah. So,
that's right.
And Craig got married not too long ago.
Yeah. Passed the bar in Florida and then recently got married. And I believe, almost positive, they're pregnant too. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, they're pregnant. If I'm mistaken, Craig, I apologize, but I'm almost positive I have seen him post, baby Robinson coming in. You know, whatever month, you know, they did one of those photos with the ultrasound and stuff. So almost positive it's him. So yeah, he's coming, but
if not, you're starting rumors.
I know. Then I'm starting rumors and God, we don't need that. Anyway, Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I love talking to old school contestants about the show, and it's, you know, like I said, it's way different now, but it was almost a little bit more pure when you were on. There was no social media out there. You didn't get so much feedback from the fans when you were on it as you would now if you were on the show. But anyway, I really appreciate it. I hope everything works out for you. I will put the link to voting for you on the Fab Over 40. So go vote for Elizabeth Brown. You have till, I believe, 7 p.m. Pacific time tonight for her group. And, you know, we need her to win so she can get $40,000 and fill her farm with animals. That's what we need. We need more animals on your farm. But anyway, thank you so much, Elizabeth. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Steve. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. thank you so much to Elizabeth for coming on. Like I said, love talking to the old school contestants. And, you know, this is somebody who was on Bachelor Pad Season 1. How about that? I mean, come on. Season 1 of Bachelor Pad, that was 12 years ago, because they did 3 seasons of Bachelor Pad, and then they took a season off. There was no summer show in 2013, because Season 1 aired in 2010, and then 2 was in 11, 3 was in 12. Yeah, so there was no summer show in 2013, and then they've had 8 seasons of Bachelor Pad outside of 2020 with the pandemic year. So, yeah, very, very fun talking to her, and I hope you all remember her from her season of Jake, season of The Bachelor, and then her performance on Bachelor Pad, which got her to the finals, and Tenley and Kipton decided, no, we're going to take Natalie and Dave to the finals and get beat. So maybe they made a wrong decision by not taking Elizabeth and Jesse. Anyway, thanks again to Elizabeth for coming on. Thank you for all listening. I really appreciate it. And please rate, subscribe, and review an Apple Podcast. It is much appreciated. And we are back next Thursday with yet another interview. Hopefully, I can get that Taylor Hale interview confirmed, and we can talk to the winner of Big Brother Season 24. So, for Elizabeth Brown, I'm Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week. See ya!